This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
As a prepper, facts mean life. It's a good idea to have the facts before you need them. We've got your answers at SurvivalCD.com. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder of SurvivalRing.org, one of the oldest survival-oriented websites on the web, now in our 18th year. SurvivalRing focuses on you, providing thousands of downloadable ebooks on survival preparedness and self-reliance information, all for free. Everything we offer online can be yours without spending weeks or months downloading and organizing every file yourself. We've created the Survival CD package made up of 14 multimedia discs, all easily accessed with any computer, with a DVD drive and web browser. Save time and get everything in a package that only takes up 1 inch of shelf space. When you prepare, you want to know history and what threats are most likely where you live. With over 30 gigabytes of preparedness and survival resources, Survival CD gives you everything in one wonderful package, full of useful, always needed, old-school knowledge for when the world gets a bit too crazy and out of control. Add to your plans and abilities with SurvivalCD.com's package of appropriate technology information, manuals, history, how-tos, and good old-fashioned American know-how. SurvivalCD.com, your family emergency preparedness digital library.
Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price. Special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio. Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price. Special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper, CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hi, and welcome to Barefoot is Legal. I'm your host, John Schleyer. Sierra will not be here today. I'm filling in. So we'll just go through this. Please, if we have any callers, please go ahead and call in. Feel free to call in. First, we'll start off with the Barefoot is Legal website. I just want to make sure everyone on the Facebook is following that. We have a lot of good information there. We're trying to raise the awareness, get involvement. We need to get more people involved. And I kind of like to use this show to showcase some of the things that we need and getting people involved in Barefoot is Legal. It is so important that we do this. The world is not going to change on its own. We have to be there to move forward, to take an activist role and make sure we are out there. So we need people that can, you know, write articles, people that can, you know, research and go to, you know, their local events, you know, share information. We have some flyers that you can share. Please feel free to do that. So, do we have anyone calling in? I don't see anyone. Okay, so we're going to go right now. Sorry for the dead air. I had a little bit of a technical issue going on here. Just please bear with me for one moment. And I'll use that pun literally. We need to bear with me. And it'll just be a second now. All right. So we have on Barefoot is Legal. We have Valerie Garcia, who said, after being told to leave a Dollar General in Graham, Texas, I know the main office. This is a response, and no more shopping in Dollar Tree. So pretty much they blew her off. In regards to the concern expressing it in your email, Dollar General does ask that our customers wear shoes and shirt and when shopping in our stores. This information is posted on the door. I guess in specific ones it is. I know the local one around me, it's not posted on the door. So in your area, I wonder if, you know, if we have anyone that can call in and say they've had any issues with that. So it says in all of our locations. Well, they missed ours. Because this is our policy, we ask the associates to let customers not wearing shoes or sure know that in the future he or she will not be required, will be required, that would be funny, would not be required, will be required to wear shoes and shirt in the store. And then they do the I apologize for this instance, you're given incorrect information from one of our associates. All right, next up we have Yolos, who says, hello group, she has a 20-month-old baby that loves to be barefoot. He refused wearing shoes, and I respect his desire. Yesterday I went to Ross, the store, and Linda Odessa, the manager, yelled at her and her kid. Meanwhile, this is a 20-month-old. We were on the lane. My kiddo was standing by my side saying that the policy is to wear a shoe and ask if she can show me where it stated that. She Googled from the car, could not find anything. So here we go. They're actually, you know, harassing down to a 20-month-old. That's kind of crazy. Sierra has put out there, she is looking for on where to have a convention. So far, the Southeast is in the lead. So she's saying, I want to host a barefoot convention. Knowing where the majority of our members live would be immensely helpful. I probably won't get this fully organized for at least 2 to 3 years, but I'm in the planning stages. Feel free to add options if you were not listed. These are the locations. Okay, add the options if your location was not listed, I see. So please make sure you're adding to her. So far, she only has like 5 comments on it. Please go out there and add to those comments if you can. Remember, we do have a Barefoot is Legal call-in number as well. Phone number is 844-522-7882. Again, that is 844-522-7882. Daniel Howe is looking for people to post a picture of themselves reading the Barefoot book. And you could be feeded, F-E-E-T-U-R-E-D, feet-ured, in this new ad. So he has a pun on that. That's kind of funny. So if you would like to be featured in his book, just put up a picture for him. There's a tweet out talking about stepping on, you know, we had a discussion a couple weeks ago about Legos and how they are to step on, and somebody put in a picture of these really nasty-looking spur things, and that could not be fun. I'm glad I've never stepped on one of those. We have here from Barefoot Mick. Hello, my SLB friends. I'd like to introduce you to country western singer Lori Cole. I enjoyed talking with her about my barefoot lifestyle. Lori was excited to hear all about barefoot movement. She has given me her last CD entitled Get This Barefoot and Butterflies. So please be looking for her out there. Lori Cole, K-O-L-E. That sounds interesting. We're going to now take just a few seconds here. I apologize. I'm having the worst technical trouble here. That's why I'm having really trouble pulling up articles. I have them all on my computer, so I just want to be transparent about that. That's why I'm kind of having trouble with this. and I'm pulling up on my phone, which is a little bit of a challenge. But we can go. Here's what we're going to do. All right. Got an article here. And the article that we're going to cover right now is, I wonder if my router is giving me problems or something. The phone's not even pulling up now, and I sure apologize for this. So if we have anyone who'd like to call in, that part we can definitely handle. So if there's anyone in the meantime, okay, here we go. Got an article here. That was posted in Back to School, Diet Paleo by Candy. It's a barefoot life. And this is, you know, relating to paleo, and they're also much into barefoot as well nowadays. It says, no food. The only time shampoo is used on my hair is when I go to the hairdresser for a haircut and or henna coloring. She's going all natural. So it goes on. Barefooting. I've become a full-time barefooter since the beginning of July, so that's been a little while now. This means I go barefoot everywhere I can, hiking, shopping, strolling around town, work, school, yes, even CrossFit. I've only worn minimalist shoes, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with minimalist shoes on this show. These are ones that don't have any support in them. They're very very thin. We did a little bit on Huarache sandals last week, for those of you who were able to tune in, so similar to that, or the ones, you know, the five-finger type. On occasions, double under at CrossFit, whipping your toes with a jumping rope hurts like hell. I can imagine that would. A funeral, these are places that she's had to wear shoes. Carrying a refrigerator on gravel. Things like that. In the beginning, I took my Zero shoes with me, but now I don't even bother anymore. And most of the time, she just forgets, and I can relate to that. I'm very good at forgetting to have any with me at all, because I'm pretty close to not wearing them at all myself. My soles are getting used to walking on all kinds of surfaces. We even went for a three-hour adventure hike in the forests of Brussels, and Lou did the whole thing barefoot with me, which is an explanation point. So Lou must be her significant other, I would assume. Then she put some thoughts on barefooting. I'm so used to now walking around barefoot that most of the time I'm not even aware of what other people might think about it. And I think that's a very important point to bring up. I know when somebody's first new to going barefoot, you know, the social acceptance, I mean, that is a big hurdle. It was for me. I know it was for a lot of other people on the show and on the web, you know, what we've seen in Facebook. So it may be for you as well. That is definitely a big hurdle. I can relate to the fact that she said, most of the time, she's not even aware of what other people might think about it. You do get to a point where you're not concerned about what other people are thinking about it because you're not doing anything wrong. Most of the time, I'm losing it again. So we could definitely use some callers. That just went down. Let's see if I can find that again real quickly. I think I got it right here. All right. Hopefully we can get through this show without any more technical difficulties. They're really challenging this morning. OK. says most of the times we're taking back off, we're not being aware of other people might think. Most of the times I'm too busy, and in parentheses, doing stuff or talking to the boys, to notice as I was strolling around town today with nothing else to do, I wanted to be aware of people noticing and see the reactions to my bare feet. I think only two elderly ladies looked at my feet in disgust. And, you know, it is something that's definitely generational. It's, you know, how different people were raised. And that's part of what we're trying to do is change some of these stereotypes, some of these myths and beliefs that lead people to, you know, have that reaction. But looking at bare feet should be no different than looking at bare hands when you think about it. You know, somebody might say, I don't like bare feet because they're ugly or in their opinion. But how many people's hands do you see every day? Sorry for diverging again, but this brings up so much information that I can just relate to. All the other people noticing seemed to more puzzled. I can relate to that as well. They saw my bare feet. They looked up at my clothing, looked back at my feet, and looked up at me again, as if they wouldn't believe that someone looking just like them would walk around with no shoes. And as I was stating before, I said, I think most people expected me to look like a hippie or something with dreadlocks, baggy pants, tie-dye shirts, and, you know, as it says here, typical prejudice. So it's nothing against people that have dreadlocks, baggy pants, or tie-dye, but it is a prejudice. Instead, I dressed quite classy, skirts, cardigan, toenails painted and in flashy colors. And it says, have a short, straight haircut, and people just don't associate, in parentheses, that kind of person with bare feet. I think I'm a hippie in disguise. I love the reaction of children as they shout out loud, look, Mom, that lady has no shoes on, and then start giggling and wiggling. And then she starts giggling and wiggling her toes. I'm open to conversations and welcome people to ask me why I walk around barefoot. Unfortunately, many people don't ask. They just stare, and I smile back. Then she says, walking around barefoot is not something I do to shock people or to create controversy. I do this for me, for my physical and mental health. And that's really important. There's more information coming out all the time on how much healthier it is to walk barefoot. And when people ask, I explained, and most people react in a positive way. Some are interested when I tell them I no longer suffer back pain due to a hernia or that my knees don't hurt anymore because they suffer with similar problems. I also emphasize the impact on my stress level. I feel more connected with myself, not worrying all the time. Whenever I wear shoes, for whatever short period, I feel like I'm missing out because I don't feel the earth under my feet. And that's another really good point. I'm to that point, too, as I mentioned before, that when you seldom wear shoes, when you have to, it's really not comfortable. You feel there's so much stimulus that you get, different temperatures, textures, you know, the feeling going, you know, from maybe a parking lot on a real hot into a very cool store with smooth floors. All of these, you know, people seem to think it's taboo for us anymore to really, you know, feel anything. And when you're so used to being able to do that, it really, I can definitely see what she says. She feels like she's missing out. Then she says, so what's next? A lot of changes going on. I no longer work at the office. I'm starting full-time school in a few weeks, studying to become a kindergarten teacher. I'll see if I can stay barefoot as long as possible, wear minimalist shoes only when absolutely required. And then she goes on, you know, to talk about other things, you know, in her life that are not barefoot related. But, you know, definitely somebody that is, you know, going full bore into this. And I think this is a very important article because the points that she makes are exactly what you find on the journey. You know, the concerns about what other people are thinking, the, you know, the way you feel without the stimulus, you know, when you're so used to feeling the ground, how it's, you know, how you miss it when it's not there. I think it's, you know, very important. And then again, as we've discussed in previous shows, the pain, not having pain that she had before. This is something I can definitely relate to myself because I used to have really bad foot pain. Before that, I never really liked wearing shoes anyways, but because of social, you know, requirements, I fit in like everybody else and pretty much wore them. And after doing research myself, I found that, you know, most said if you have that kind of problem, you know, wear supports and orthotics and, you know, you shouldn't go barefoot. However, I found just a handful of articles at the time that said, no, that's exactly the opposite. You want to try it. So I did. And within about a month, I had no more pain in my feet. And in addition, I had no leg and back, knee and back pain that I didn't even realize I had because I've been wearing shoes my whole life. I thought that was just the normal aches of being alive. That may sound really odd, but unless you've experienced that change, for me at least, it was really amazing, you know, how much it changed. With what I know now, I understand that, you know, when you have any kind of shoe on, I don't care what kind it is, it's going to throw your body out of alignment. Think of it like your car. If you went in to get new tires on your car, would you get an alignment done? Of course. So when you're wearing shoes, you're out of alignment. When you're barefoot, you have a perfect 50-50 weight distribution. And you also have all of the sensory nerve endings in your feet that are just like the sensors in a car telling you, you know, how to walk, what to do. So it's, you know, very important that, you know, you're able to experience that. I really highly suggest it if you're not to that point, because the impact on health in so many ways, and I continue to find, you know, new and more exciting ways that it's helping. You know, it's just amazing, really, the different, you know, it helps our mental abilities, our frontal lobe of our brain. It takes more effort to walk barefoot than doing just about anything. Through doing, you know, scans of people's brain while they're walking, they've been able to see that, especially in children, if they're wearing shoes, and then they take another picture when they're not wearing them, the frontal lobe lights up like a Christmas tree. It's just so important that you have that sensory input back to the brain so it can make those calculations, and it definitely is exciting to do that. Just surprising information. Time for one more, and then we're going to have a break here. Next one is from the Daily Mail in the UK, and the way it's listed is children as young as 4 made to study barefoot at primary school, which bans shoes because it improves their learning environment. I've read quite a few articles on this, and they really come to the conclusion that children do better in school if they're not wearing shoes, especially behavioral. They've seen a dramatic change in a child's behavior, you know, for the better when they don't have shoes on. Goes on to say, primary school children have been told to wear only socks for lessons after shoes were banned in an attempt to improve children's results. Homebush Primary School in Shoreham, West Sussex, declared that children should study barefoot after the school's learning council made up of year six pupils found that shoeless classrooms could help pupils learn. After a trial, which was deemed successful by children and staff, the 240 schools' governors agreed to make the policy official. The Homebush became a shoeless school in January this year. You know, the unusual philosophy, which originated in Scandinavia, where shoes bring in slush, snow, and ice, suggests that children both learn and behave better when their feet are unrestricted by shoes. So it is both the learning and the behavior. You know, it's just something that's very important if you're in school. Pupils are said to be gentler with each other, concentrate better, and other benefits include cleaner and more hygienic carpets. And that's an interesting statement because there's so many myths about, you know, spreading diseases through going barefoot, and here they're saying that they're having cleaner and more hygienic carpets. Pupils at Homebush, which is deemed good by Ofsted, I'm not really familiar with it, are allowed to go barefoot or to wear socks and slippers whenever they are in the school building, but only put on school shoes when they head outdoors to play. So hopefully, as they learn more, they'll change that as well. Headmistress Rebecca Jackson said shoeless classrooms were brought in to improve the learning environment. However, children and staff discovered one downside to shoeless learning last week when a fire alarm sounded and the children had to file out into the wet playground in their socks. Some parents and carers were upset that the children got their feet wet as a result, and one grandmother of a five-year-old at the school saying it's absolutely ridiculous. What I think is absolutely ridiculous is they just didn't offer socks. I mean, you know, feet are waterproof. You don't really need to have socks on them or anything. So if they're going to be barefoot in school or in their socks, if they're going outside, I think as soon as they, you know, as soon as safe, they could take them off. Then they would not have a problem there. These pupils were ushered out of the door without their shoes, and my grandson was stood there on a soaking wet playground in just socks. And they came back into school, they had to take off their socks. So when they went to collect kids, nearly all of them came out wearing shoes and no socks. This is somebody that, you know, we talked about earlier, the generational differences. He is obviously somebody that is, you know, averse to this idea and is going to find anything. You know, how do you argue with focus better in school, behave better, such big problems in schools? How do you argue with that, but to say they're going to get wet socks so they go outside? Anyways, we will pick up when we come back. It's time for a commercial break. So we're going to switch on over and be back shortly.
Yeah.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Drake drops the verse.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Yeah.
I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it,
no diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melon you wanna squeeze, yes please, yes please.
Hey now that plant looks good.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Welcome back. We have another article up for you. And I definitely welcome some callers. We have zero callers out there as of now, but it would be good to have that interaction. As I mentioned earlier, we have the Facebook for Barefoot is Legal. And, you know, we need to see some more involvement there as well. We're going to continue to see the negative reactions and the myths and all of the challenges that we face as barefooters, unless we can get the information out there, the you know, good information on how it is good for you. The next one I have up is by Echo Child's Play, and it just says from the editors. It doesn't really have the author. And it says, shoes transmit disease. Leave them by the door. They have here. Dr. Charles Gerber, a microbiologist and professor at the University of Arizona, joined forces with shoemaker Rockport to study what types of microorganisms are transmitted by footwear. 10 people were given a brand new pair of shoes to use for 2 weeks before having them tested for bacteria. After 2 weeks, more than 420,000 units of bacteria were found outside of the test shoes. Of that 27% were deadly E. coli. Also detected was, and I probably should not have gotten into something with all of these medical terms. I'm sure I will destroy all of them, but pneumonia, that one of which can cause pneumonia and wound the bloodstream infections, and another one that can lead to an infection of the respiratory tract. The common occurrence, 90% of chloroform and E. coli bacteria on the outside of the shoes indicated frequent contact with fecal matter, most of which likely originates from floors in public restrooms or contact with animal material outdoors. Our study also indicated that bacteria can be tracked by shoes over a long distance into your home or personal space after the shoes were contaminated with bacteria. More disturbing to moms of little ones, 90 to 99% of bacteria found on the exterior of the shoes was transmitted to tile and carpet. Any germs picked up by bare feet, knees, or hands will then be transmitted to the crib and nap time. So to help keep these germs at bay, simply remove your shoes and leave them by the door. Frequent mopping and vacuuming is also good. The study also found simply washing the shoes eliminated more than 90% of the germs. There's a point I was really trying to get to. Washing the shoes eliminated 90% of the shoes. What about washing your feet? First of all, you're not going to have nearly as many germs on them. They don't live well on feet. There's an interesting fact about your feet and your hands. You know, we all have our fingerprints, you know, that they're unique to every person. But there's another interesting, and of course your toes have, you know, similar lines on them as well, the similar grooves and everything. There's, besides gripping, there's another very interesting use for those lines. They act as little barriers. They're like little mazes for bacteria. They can't spread. We are literally designed to have a defense with our bare feet and bare hands against bacteria. The thing that I find so funny is, you know, you're going to have that on the bottom of your feet, not so much the top of your feet. So, you know, the bottom of your feet can defend better against bacteria, yet that's the part that we're determined to cover up all the time. And we have a natural defense built in. In fact, a lot of hospitals now, if you happen to be in one, you'll probably notice this, they don't have smooth surfaces on their equipment. You'll see that it actually resembles kind of like a fingerprint or just the same as what you'd find on your feet. This is because they've learned that it traps the bacteria and keeps it from spreading. So, you know, but here they're saying to wash them. How many people wash their shoes? I don't know how many people wash them frequently or at all. But I'm pretty sure the majority of people do wash their feet at least once a day. So you can solve this whole problem by not having, you know, having them even on or around. So don't leave them by the door. Don't have them, period. Or leave them in a closet somewhere, boy, hopefully locked in a secure plastic airtight bag. But they are definitely spreaders of germs, and as I was saying before, are naturally designed to keep us from doing that. Next up, we have, let me pull the next one up here. All right, here we go. Go barefoot, improve your brain. I think I touched a little on this earlier, and it says, now whenever I hear the words improve your brain function or anything remotely related, I sit up to pay attention. I sure can use all the help I can get in this area, and I can tell you I'm definitely looking for some of that help today. Very challenging. I heard this mentioned in passing in an NPR story. I can't find the original studies or research, but here's the summary of this. Going barefoot somehow stimulates your brain to grow additional very efficient neuron connections. The person being interviewed was an expert on the brain injury and recovery. When asked what they do themselves to maintain a healthy brain as they age, the answers were the normal ones, like eat lots of fruits, vegetables, I get lots of healthy omega-3 fats, plenty of sleep, exercise, and challenging intellectual activities. Then they stated they also go barefoot as much as possible. And it has been shown to have a beneficial effect on the health of your brain. I've seen quite a few articles on this, so I think there's more and more research coming out. I often garden in the summer just because I like the feel of the soil, but other than that, I usually have on shoes or sandals. I wonder if the benefits outweigh the risks, and then they go into the stub toes, sharp objects. When they're mentioning sharp objects, that's... I'm sorry for diverging so much, but this just brings me to a point I wanted to mention. That's such a concern people have, and I'd like you to think about that. What sharp objects do we really encounter these days? I mean, think about what you do, where you go, and if you go into a fast food restaurant, is a sharp object going to be a plastic knife? I mean, what are you going to? What are the sharp objects? I know glass is often brought up. You know, not much is made out of glass anymore. You really don't find glass in very many products. And the technology has gotten to the point that even when it does break, it will shatter for the most part into little, you know, pebble-like sort similar to, you know, a windshield. If a car, I'm sure everybody's seen a broken windshield on a car. When it breaks, you end up with little chunks similar to little pebbles. It's designed to do that. And really, it's, you know, 99% of the glass that we're going to come in contact, in my opinion, in public would probably be that. And it really poses no risk. In 25-plus years of being barefoot most of the time, that hasn't been a problem. In fact, I would dare to say that I have less injuries on my feet than most people that wear shoes. I see people all the time, you know, with, you know, scars and bruises in the back of their heel, just, you know, inflamed and red from, you know, rubbing on the different materials and shoes. And you don't have that issue when you don't have them on. So the going back to the, you know, the dangers, the sharp objects, as they said, I really challenge you to think about how often that's going to be a problem. Where are you going to find these sharp objects? So that's pretty much what it's saying here. Improve your brain by going barefoot. And the next article we have up, and again, I do apologize because I am not able to use my computer. I'm going to have to take this thing in. It's been giving me problems for a couple weeks now, and it seems to have decided it is not going to play nice at all today. So we will, though, move forward. We'll keep going. We definitely have plenty of information here. And we want to share that information. All right, here we go. We have all right. Meet Alice Sarah-Ott, the barefoot pianist shaking up the classical music world. And it goes on. I used to think it was really and again, I do apologize. I'm having trouble with that article, so I'm going to go to another one. But pretty much that's good. The more people in public, you know, we do see, you know, this is actually a concert pianist, which you don't see that often, but I mean, a lot, you know, there are a lot of, you know, musicians these days, more and more we're seeing barefoot musicians out there. So that's a positive for us. That's always good to see. I think we have a caller on the line. Let me see if I can get this thing to cooperate with me today. All right, that was David, and we're back on. We've got, speaking on the subject of temperature, he was asking about how tips for going barefoot in snow. I found an interesting article talking about how body temperature is regulated. This is something we don't really think about that often. It says whether we are shivering in the cold winter or perspiring in the warmest weather, a physician's thermometer placed in the mouth will show that the temperature of our body is exactly the same at both times. Pretty amazing when you think about it. You know, we're constantly in changing conditions, but, you know, our body temperature really doesn't vary at all, very seldom, you know, a degree or two in any direction. So it goes on to say, you know, it's one of the life's most remarkable, you know, powers of the human body. The internal temperature of the body sits consistently maintained at about 98.5 degrees all seasons in all countries. The variation in temperature when one is in a health issue is scarcely more than 1 degree. You know, if you're healthy, it doesn't really vary more than 1 degree. And, you know, it goes out to talk about from 70 degrees below zero Arctic regions, I sure wouldn't want to go there, to 130 degrees above in sulfur deserts of Africa, your body temperature still remains the same. The reason I brought up this article and I'm looking for it here is I'm going to just speak from what I've read on temperature, because this is rather lengthy and I'm not finding exactly what I wanted. But the reason I brought it up was that our bodies, you know, our temperature, how we respond to it, has a lot to do with our feet. You think about, we have more nerve endings in our feet than pretty much anywhere else in our body. And the effects of closing them in shoes on a cold temperature, you're sending input back to your brain that it's warm out. And I don't know if anyone's ever really thought about that. One of the things I've found the last couple of years of going year-round, and granted, I'm in Florida, but I am in North Florida, and we get what some people would consider a little bit of a winter. There are people that are freezing, myself included, in the past, in the weather, bundled up in the wintertime. But I started to notice that I wasn't cold anymore. I really saw people around me complaining about the weather, really frigid, freezing. And I didn't. Part of this, of course, could be just the increase in circulation. You know, that, you know, when you go barefoot, you're going to have a better circulation in your body, and that has been proven to help defend against temperatures. But I've also come to believe, from the different research I've seen out there talking about body temperature, that, you know, our feet are kind of like the thermostats. So if we are telling our feet that it's 105 degrees, which, you know, the shoes can get right up around that area, and it's actually 30 out, you know, the body's going to say, open up the sweat glands. You know, it's hot, but you're actually in an area that's cold, and I believe that stinging feeling you get often comes from that, because your pores are open, and you're just getting the wrong information fed by your internal thermostat. I can't stress this enough, that the difference was so dramatic when I finally realized it. After, you know, it took a little adjustment, of course, a little time for my body to adjust. But honestly, I went through the entire winter, and I was dressed more like it was summertime, and people around me were freezing. It's really a good, amazing feeling, and whether I'm way off base on the reasoning, or it has to do with circulation or some other unknown fact, who cares? It works. If you can get used to tolerating your shoes, and one of the keys, I think, is to do it as frequently as possible. Over the years, speaking of the frequency of it, I was constantly in and out of shoes, mainly because of the social concerns. You know, how we talked about at the beginning of the show we talked about the social concerns of being what other people think. So I was in and out of them constantly. And we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, I'm going to reveal a little bit about what I noticed in my experience from when it was an infrequent switching back and forth to now a consistent time of being barefoot. So I will see you back here in about 3 minutes.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Welcome back. As before we went to the commercial break, I was talking about the differences I've noticed from infrequently going barefoot to almost going barefoot all the time. You know, it's for the 20 plus years I mentioned earlier in the program that I really started because of, you know, the heel pain, the plantar fasciitis, and it did take care of that. But because of social pressures and the challenges I would run into and the negative reactions I would get and the concerns I would have, a lot of them were unfounded, but you do have these concerns of if you run into friends or family or coworkers, and, you know, that's something that does play on your mind, especially when you're first starting out, be infrequent. So I would go for a while barefoot somewhere, and then back to shoes, and back to barefoot, back to shoes. And what I found was, one thing, the pain would start to come back after a while if I wasn't going barefoot anymore. So I was constantly aggravating the issue by switching back and forth. Another thing I noticed, this is when I was really not going year round. You know, in the winter time, I was wearing shoes most of the time. I went down to St. Augustine, which is about 30 minutes south from where I'm at in Jacksonville. And I was walking around, and it really hurt a little bit. And I was like, what is wrong here? Did they repave? I was honestly wondering if they had repaved some of the areas, because I had been there before. It was never a problem. So you do lose the tolerance that you build up. Now I can go back to those same places again, and without exaggeration, it feels like I'm walking on carpet. You know, it is, for the most part. I've pretty much conquered all but the worst pavements out there. There was one parking lot in the local strip mall that I had challenges with, because it has a lot of free gravel, and especially if it rained, it was a little bit of a problem. But that's finally really not a problem anymore. You hardly notice that. So you definitely build up a tolerance, and that's one of the things. And again, the other thing is that I was talking earlier about temperature control. I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, I was always freezing in the wintertime, and as soon as I made it a regular habit of going barefoot, which is about 2.5 years now, that's been the most amazing thing to me. I don't even notice the temperature change. Now, I'm sure if I was in some of the more cold regions, which I'm sure many of the listeners are in up north, or the Canada, as Sarah would be from, you're going to notice, you know, you're going to get cold. You know, your body can only do so much. But for the changes that I would experience here in Florida, which could be, you know, high 30s, mid 40s, get in the day, maybe getting down a little lower at times. We barely break the freeze point, but that's about the worst of it. But that's still, since we have a very high humidity, it's a type of cold that'll go right through you. You definitely feel it. And it's truly not a problem anymore. One of the things that I'd like to talk about is that transition from going back and forth between shoes and not. The first barrier I had to conquer was the social barrier. And the more and more over time that friends and family and coworkers would find out that I was barefoot somewhere, the more and more I'd find that it just really wasn't a problem. It, you know, good people have a problem with it, really. And if they do, they'll usually come around pretty quickly. I've had a few instances where I remember one person didn't even want to sit at the same table with me when we went out to a restaurant, but I'm no longer associated with that person, and I think I'm better off for it. So breaking that social barrier can definitely be a challenge. One of the things for me, and I know there are people that don't really believe in wearing them, but for me, wearing a barefoot sandal, I have my own version. I'm not here to promote that, so we'll just leave it at wearing a barefoot sandal is immensely helpful. Literally, the ones that I have look like flip-flops to my jeans when I wear long pants. I have some that are just go around the ankle, but the most convincing ones that I've found are connected to the genes with Velcro, and then go between my toe with a little piece of foam, so it literally looks like I have a flip-flop on. And it's worked so well that in over 2 years, I have never once in the thousands, literally thousands, I was thinking about this and doing some math, trying to figure out how many places I've went in that time. Now, some of those are repeat places, but there's a lot of new places too. Not one negative instance. Of course, since I really am still barefoot, occasionally someone will notice, but it's almost like it activated a different part of their brain. They're just not concerned with it. So I highly recommend trying that, especially if you're new to it or you just don't want the hassle of it. I've heard some people say they don't want to do that because they feel like they're hiding something or they want to be able to, you know, show that they are barefoot and break the barrier that way. But what I've found over and over again, in fact, multiple times now, is that by wearing these, especially in restaurants that I've frequented, that once they do figure it out, which seems to be a six-month period for some reason. I even places that go every week or a couple times a week, just funny to me that around 6 months usually somebody notices. But by that time, being a regular customer and knowing them, it's turned into more of a positive conversation of why I don't wear shoes. And I pass articles and information along to them. And not once have I been asked to not come back. In fact, we have become friends with one of the restaurant owners to the point where last Thanksgiving they invited my wife and I to their house for Thanksgiving dinner. Now, this is a restaurant that we go to, but we know them that well now. And we only know them through the restaurant. So, and they've known for well over a year and a half now that I've literally been going there between two, maybe three times a week, maybe in 2.5, in that time, 2.5 years maybe, I've worn shoes in there maybe three times. I'm trying to really think of each instance, but it mainly went back to the very beginning when I still was, the temperature change, I was right at that point of wearing them when it was cold, and also a rare occasion where I came straight from work. One of the things for me that when you have a job where you're wearing shoes and you don't like to wear them, that it's paramount to me to be able to change before I go somewhere, if at all possible. So I typically will go home first, change and then go back out, because it's that uncomfortable, as I was mentioning before, to have to endure that once you're used to the freedom and just the sensations that you get. And you would think, well, you can put up for it occasionally, but the funny part is even those occasions, it just makes that experience so negative, so, you know, it's something you just want to get through and be done with. And I think for a lot of people, you know, the chores that they have going out, going to stores, whatever it may be, are literally that. They're a chore because it's just something that they want to be done with. It's a part of life where they have to go out, they have to get, you know, things at a store and come home. And I don't think most people look at it in the way that I do. I kind of look forward to it. I really do. Because just getting out there and walking around, feeling the different temperatures and textures, as I mentioned before, just changes the entire experience. It can take something as simple as a grocery store and turn it into new sensations, from going from the, you know, the frozen food aisle to, you know, another area that might be quite warm over by the bakery, to just different floor surfaces they may have in different parts of the store. And it makes it something you want to look forward to. It's, and you know, it must be something in your brain saying, this is something I want to do. It's something I want to experience. It's truly a change I've noticed in switching. And again, I haven't been, not one negative comment. None of the stores, and these are anything from a chain store, big box store, local stores, anything have I had been told to leave. Very rarely, extremely rarely, does somebody even notice, and if they do, as I mentioned before, I get a different comment. So I can only speak from my own experience on this. I know there's a lot of different schools of thought. All I ask is that, you know, you may want to try it and see how it works for you. I think it's important that you have something that is convincing, that will blend in to a certain extent. And again, it may seem like you're hiding from other people, but it's actually just breaking that social barrier. To me, it's the bridge that's needed to help you transition, and it's transitioning them to accept. And, you know, once you can break that barrier, then you have a home run. Then, and honestly, in my journey, if somebody told me over 2 years ago that I would no longer have conflicts by just wearing these things, I would have said, there's no way. But it has honestly, truly been the experience that I've had. And I know for other barefooters out there, and the posts that I see and the challenges that they run into, it's definitely something to try. And I also believe it will help with the social acceptance. People just been here, you know, through media, through how they were raised, through everything on the different myths. And there are many people who think it's illegal, I mean, completely illegal to go barefoot, which to me is absurd. Health is the other one. And many places you hear people talking about OSHA. They'll say OSHA. Well, OSHA doesn't even have anything to do with the client, customers in the store. It's occupational. That's what OSHA, you know, occupational safety. And the funny part with OSHA is it's not even that restrictive. It's specific to certain types of jobs that have a known issue that someone might have to wear something with a non-slip surface in their job or whatever it may be, whatever the reason for the covering. I'd like to leave you today. We have a few more minutes with the thought of, you know, what else in your life would you put shoes on? What other part of your body? Would you put them on your hands? Something that restricted your movement in your hands the way it does in your feet? Would that even be an option? I mean, you'll put on gloves, of course, when you have to, but I don't see many people walking around with gloves all the time. Would you put something around your elbow that held it in a specific place? You could move it because it's a little rubbery. You might put something on your elbow or your arm if you have an injury, but why would you want to do that? Same with eye protection, ear protection, whatever it may be, all of our senses, we don't walk around covering them up, except our feet. For some reason, we've determined as a society, which amazes me, that that's something that has to be covered all the time. And the more we can get involvement, I'm going back to the Barefoot is Legal Facebook and getting involved there, whatever you can do. There are many ways to get involved. I always say things take TLC to get done. It's not tender loving care. It's time, labor, and cash. You have to have all three. But not everybody can provide all three, at least not all the time. So if you have time, you know, that's something you can provide. Do research, whatever it may need to be. Labor, you know, same thing. If you have time, you can definitely help get chores done that have to be done. And then the final one is cash. It takes money to do anything, unfortunately. You have to be able to buy supplies, print up information, you know, share information with people, have radio shows, have phone numbers. You know, they don't just give that to us. That hasn't happened yet. If it does, then maybe we won't have that challenge. But right now, you got to have it. So I do want to encourage everyone out there to take a look at the site, join up, and see what you can do. Back to, I mentioned earlier, you know, I have a barefoot sandal, and I often say that I only want to sell them to people to have to wear, you know, until we can switch over to a society that does not have to wear them anymore, and then they're just for just a style, you know, just to have some kind of style with you. But I'll be perfectly happy with that if we can get to that point. Well, I'm getting a note here to remind everybody that the next upcoming show is the Sound Doctor Spiritual Ministries Fellowship Program on Freedomizer Radio in 8 minutes. So we will, I'll be reminding you that again, and make sure that you refresh your screen. You don't, or it'll just play this over again. As much as I want you to get this information, I'm sure you don't want to get it twice. It's something that you can come back on your own time and listen to. You definitely want to get the other shows a chance to do that. So please make sure you're also porting your Blog Talk Radios and Freedomizer Radio by listening to the other programs that are out there as well. They have some good information. There is one thing I would like to mention, and it has to do with, since I assume a lot of the listeners are going to be able to follow, you know, some of the sites out there, the Society for Barefoot Living, whatever it may be, and there are always posts about heel cracks, you know, what to do about heel cracks. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, when I was going barefoot infrequently, I'd experience different things. And one of them would be heel cracks, especially when it got a little drier out, a little cooler out. I would start to get heel cracks, pretty bad, pretty severe, because you do build up a thickness. What I've noticed in the last couple of years is I'm really hardly getting any at all now. You know, your feet are amazing things. Our bodies are really amazing. And I think it's designed, as you walk, it's going to naturally take care of that for you. It's going to keep it worn to the point where it needs to be. But if you're switching back and forth between shoes and then barefoot shoes, barefoot back and forth, in my opinion, that's going to, at least for me, it definitely led to having a challenge with heel cracks. So that's one thing I would also mention as a benefit if you can switch over. We talked about the social challenges being your biggest one. So if you can overcome those, the benefits, the things you're going to feel in your health, the things you're going to feel in just the sensations, the different temperatures and textures, the heel crack issue, the challenge with the different surfaces hurting your feet, all of that improves. We live in a society that thinks you can take a pill and solve everything. And we want that instant success. One of the things I do in my spare time is animal rescue. And we pull from high kill shelters and then get animals adopted out through a local pet store. Sometimes people call the next day and say it's not working out. Like, okay, to our world, not the other way around. So it's the same with going barefoot. You have to give it the time. You might have experiences that are a little negative at times and hurt a little bit or whatever it may be. Of course, if there's any other health issues you have, please make sure you're seeing a doctor about it. But just the normal challenges of switching over and building up your tolerance takes a little time. It's not that we just swallow the pill and everything's better. So you have to keep that in mind as well as you make the transition. It is very important. We don't have the magic pills out there that solve everything. And I don't think they're going to have one for going barefoot anytime soon. You have to just have your body adapt. And when you allow that to happen, the rewards are just amazing. I know I've probably over-covered certain issues of it, but it's only because I've felt the passion. I've felt how much of a difference it's made in my life, in the just the cold alone. I hated being cold. I was the type of person that would freeze at room temperature. So that alone was worth it. So for everyone, I'd suggest please give it a shot. Call in. We'll be here next week, same time. Upcoming again, we have Sound Doctrine Spiritual Ministries Fellowship Program. And thank you. And we will see you next week.